You're listening to Confidence on the Go, your go-to podcast for motivation, inspiration, and confidence to help you boldly and bravely take action in your pursuit of living life to the fullest. I'm your host, confidence coach and personal trainer, Trish Blackwell, and it's my absolute honor and pleasure to spend some time with you each week to celebrate this beautiful thing called life. What's up, guys? It's Trish Blackwell, your host of the Confidence Podcast, formerly known as Confidence on the Go. I want to welcome you to episode number 275 of the show. You've found yourself, whether it's your first time or your 275th time, I want you to know we're a tribe. We're a tribe of people who are pursuing progress, not perfection, who are pursuing the ability to celebrate and live fully as we were created to be and to really just kick the status quo in its teeth and stop judging ourselves on such harsh, perfectionistic, pressure-based comparison standards so that we can really thrive as we're meant to. And whether you're an entrepreneur, a mompreneur, or just a general go-getter, the Confidence Podcast is the place where people gather to get your one-stop shop of weekly motivation to feel unstoppable. And I need you to know that you're unstoppable. The only thing that's keeping you from thriving are your own thoughts. And my own thoughts are something I battled with for years. And I spent years and decades working through figuring out how to rewire my brain. And that's what I come and bring my heart and soul every week to share with you. And it's interesting, you know, we're talking today. Today's actual topic itself is how to navigate being busy and navigate life as a mom, how to better navigate life, particularly as a mom who works. I mean, and that could be in a traditional environment. I'm calling this as a mompreneur because there's a lot of people who listen to the show who are hustlers, who are growing their own businesses, or maybe you're independent contractors, or maybe you're in a full-time job, but you're dreaming about creating your own lifestyle, and maybe you've started thinking about, is it possible with it to actually monetize your passion? So it's interesting, you guys. I need you to know I'm a super duper morning person, like super duper. And it's 9 p.m. at night and I'm recording. And you know what? That's, you get me in chill mode. And this is because, you know, it's been a busy day. And I spend a lot of time with my kids because that's what a mompreneur does, right? I get to be a full-time mom and a full-time business owner. And, you know, so sometimes you work in the margins. And so it really does actually go into topic today that, you know, I'm recording and showing up for you guys in the margins because I'm a mom and because of what we talk about. But in particular, I always like to give people a heads up about what to expect for today's show because, hey, I'm not kidding myself. Every show is probably not for you, but there are probably a lot of episodes here on the Confidence Podcast that are going to speak to you. So I don't want to waste your time. Your time is valuable. I want you to take action with your time. So yeah, I want you to know if this episode is going to be for you, if you really want to know how to quote unquote balance life better, or you look at someone who you admire and you're like, how the heck does she do it all? Like, how does she do it all? So we're going to really talk about how to navigate this, like, well, let's, y'all, it's a unicorn doing it all. So this, like, that term I'm going to call unicorn term, but let's just say it is what it is because doing it all. So we're going to talk about that, how you can actually do it, especially if you're a mompreneur. Now, this will apply to anyone who considers themselves having a very busy, very full life full of obligations. We're going to talk about letting go of stress, even if you're in a stress-filled life. And let's face it, if you're a mom, you got stress because I don't know about you, but like, it can be a super easy day, but all it takes is like a series of like 5 diaper changes in a row where you're like, these were just unnecessary. Like Baker, like he'll poop and then I'll change it and then he'll poop again. It's like, and then I'm like, all right, are we done? I'll put a clean diaper on and then we get another poop. Like, how is that possible? Right? You can go a couple of days without it. And then it's like the baby world conspires against you and everything exhausting happens at one time. And when you look at your day, you're like, it wasn't a stressful day. There's nothing wrong with today. But like, today was hard, you know? And so the reality is that, you guys, I've learned in navigating, and we'll get into the nitty gritty of this as we dive into our coaching today, but the reality of navigating being able to do it all with more joy and more success and more happiness and more results is acknowledging that life is hard. and that it is beautiful at the same time. And here's what's important for you to know and remember and cling to. You can do hard things. And that's so important for you to remember. But then also, you guys, that I think sometimes when we think things are hard and we forget the other part, that it's beautiful and we can do hard things, we start letting ourselves have too many pity parties. And when you have pity parties, the blame goes elsewhere. Well, when the blame is elsewhere, you're a victim, and you're a victim of your own life and your own circumstances. And you guys, the only one who can change how you feel or think about your life or how you experience it is you. So you've got to master your mind. And you know, I call myself out on this. This morning I had a pity party, and if you follow me on Instagram, you might have seen my IG story where I was having a pity party for myself because I woke up cranky. And the reality was, there was nothing wrong with my day today. It was just I was begrudging the fact that I had some things to do that I didn't want to do. And I actually shook myself a little bit, like jumped up and down. I was like, all right, Trish, like, take ownership, like, get over it, get over yourself, get over this. You know, I just tell myself, stop having a pity party. And it really does sometimes wake me up to take ownership of it. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And we're going to talk about how to set yourself up to live your best life. And you guys, the key is keeping things simple. And the reality is that life isn't about not knowing, but then doing something anyways. No one has it figured out. No one knows what their next steps are. But you know what, the people who live beautifully, the people who quote unquote navigate life and do it well and do it well, and you look at them, you're like, how is this possible? What are they doing? What do they know that I don't know? They don't know anything. Like, isn't that awesome? No one knows more than you. No one has it more figured out than you. But the people who you think do, they're just willing to show up. They're willing to take action every day. They're willing to look at their life and go, man, life's got a lot. There's a lot going on. I need to simplify. I need to stop stressing out, right? So those are some of the things we're going to dive into. Before that, let's just do a quick announcement. I want you to know that this podcast, as always, is brought to you by our partnership with Beauty Counter. You guys, Beauty Counter is technically one of my side hustles that I just do as a passion project. I love it. There's no other way to say it. And to be honest, I mean, I love everything the company stands for. The thing that has been the most rewarding about Beauty Counter for me is the network of women that I get to connect with. You know, being an entrepreneur, being a mompreneur, we're going to talk about this a little bit today. It can be lonely. It can be isolating, and it can feel overwhelming. I absolutely love that I get to be part of a movement that makes change, that's bigger than me, that's bigger than my brand, that I get to partner with other women. And you guys, it's this like sisterhood of change makers. And it's so fun. It's like a really, like, if you need a side hustle and you need a second set of sisters, or a third set, or a hundredth set, because there's like thousands of us. It's a sisterhood. I want you in. I would love to mentor you in the business of Beauty Counter, in helping get safer products into the hands of everyone. You guys know I'm passionate about health and fitness and wellness. And unfortunately, after 10 years of being in the fitness industry as a personal trainer and as somebody obsessed with nutrition, I did not know how harmful what we put on our skin and around us can be. It's as important as our workouts, as important as our nutrition and eating organic or non-GMO. So I really want to encourage you, if you haven't yet read up about Beauty Counter, go check out my blog post. I have it on trishblackwell.com/beautycounter. I'd love to talk to you more about what safer beauty might mean in your life. Now, real quick, because we did mention the fact that some episodes are going to be for you and some aren't, if you ever want to just scroll through the podcasts that I've done, go to trishblackwell.com/podcast. I got all my archives there, so I got you covered. And finally, last but not least, before we dive into today's conversation, I want to let you know I have like re-fallen in love with Instagram. So if you're on Insta and you like stories, I've been doing them every day. So you want a little backside to my life and a little inside scoop? I'm posting my dance parties with my kids. Or recently in my highlights, we did Baker's smash cake. Yeah, he turns two. Oh my gosh. He turns one in 2 weeks. So in prep for his first birthday, we of course did his smash cake photos so that hopefully I can have them posted. But if you're connected to me on Instagram, you can see how ridiculously adorable he is. That should be teaser enough, right? On Instagram, I'm Trish_Blackwell. And you guys, I'm just want to, I'd love to connect with you there. It's my new favorite place to hang out. So come over there, hang out with me, shoot me a DM, and let's connect. Let me know how I encourage you. And I want to thank you to everybody who has sent me DMs to let me know what podcast topics that are going to most serve you. I show up to be your coach, to encourage you, to let you know that even if your mind is sometimes against you, even if your self-doubt or some self-sabotaging habits or you feel like some certain circumstances are against you, that you have somebody who is a professional rooting for you in your corner. Like, I've got your back. I will remind you of the truth. I will let you know that you're not alone. I'm going to encourage you to keep on keeping on, because that's, we all started that way. I mean, you guys, it's so freaking adorable. This is the last thing I'm going to say about Baker. It's a mompreneur episode. It's cool. I can talk about my kids, right? I mean, you guys, he is walking. He's up to like 35 steps at a time, which is pretty far, but he still falls a lot. And man, it's so awesome, because it doesn't discourage him, as it shouldn't, because you guys, we all start off we are resilient by nature. We fall down and get back up. You know, I think sometimes we, as adults, we over-personalize the times that we fall down, these setbacks, the what we have interpreted as humiliations or failures. When really, if you watch a baby learn how to walk, you've got to fall on your face and bump your head in the corner and scrape up your knees and fall on your butt and hit your head like 100 times a day. And he's an advanced little walker. He's a preemie who was 11 months old, and he's cruising along, and he still bites it all the time. And am I worried about him, like, not being able to run? No, he's badass. He's awesome. And so what would happen if you start thinking about yourself like that? You know, I think sometimes we get in our heads and we think, I can't do it all. I keep falling down. Who am I to think? I failed at this before. Why is this going to be different? Well, Baker has fallen down walking before. Does that mean he shouldn't keep trying? No, it's the same thing with you. So just wanted, that's your little mom metaphor for the day. And all right, guys, without further ado, let's dive into really time management skills, how to better navigate life as a mompreneur. And again, this doesn't, you do not have to be a mom, but if you're not a mom and you want to share this with somebody who is, go ahead and do it. Spread the love. Pause. Hit share this episode. And on that note, y'all, hit subscribe. Make sure you don't miss any episodes coming out. Subscription is how more people will find out about the Confidence Podcast. So if you in any way have ever been encouraged, hit that subscribe. Snap a photo of you listening to this episode. Hit me up on Instagram. Tag me, Trish_Blackwell. And let's spend some time together. Let's hang out. Okay? So let's dive in on this concept of how to navigate life as a busy mom, particularly if any of you out there are busy working moms. But let's call a spade a spade. Even if you're a stay-at-home mom and you don't even consider yourself having a job, you have a job. maybe you're a stay-at-home mom with a side hustle, or maybe you're a stay-at-home mom and you're a full-time mom. Ladies, it's work. It is commitment. Like, my days that I'm quote unquote like not working, that I'm with my kids, they still work. You know, there's so many expectations placed on us as women that we can do it all and be it all. And the reality is that you can't. You can either be decent at a little good, pretty good at most everything, or exceptional at a few things. And I know for me to live my best life and for me to really become the person that God has created me to be, I need to choose to thrive where I'm gifted. I need to choose to thrive and bloom where I'm planted, and then also learn how to ask for help in those other areas, but also know how to say I'm at capacity, like that I can't take on extra expectations. And so I kind of want to flow with this conversation. It's less of a structured coaching session today in today's confidence podcast, but more of just a chit chat about the day in the life of a busy mompreneur and how it all works together. And I'm talking about this as I've had a lot of people go, listen, I just need a glimpse into a day in the life of Trish. So that's kind of what you're getting, but you're getting a little bit of the kind of strategy and time management skills and structure that I talk with some of my coaching clients on for their lives. And so this is not just applicable to my life, because I've seen it implemented and activated successfully in the lives of my clients as well. So first and foremost, I think you have to know what you can do and what you can't. And you've got to know what you want to do and what you prefer not to do. I struggled for a long time wanting to be just able to it was almost a pride thing. I just want to do it all and not ask for help and impress my husband. I just wanted to be impressive, so to speak, and not need to outsource. And the reality was that is when I was running myself thin. And that was even before kids. And so since having kids, it's really forced me to say, here's the time that I have. I'm putting boundaries around my time. I put boundaries around my personal time. I put boundaries around my professional time. And I try to really keep things separate. There is a blend, but I also put boundaries around my social media time because it's too easy to get sucked in. And it's easy to find yourself spending hours doing something you didn't want to do at first at all. So time is such a valuable resource that I know that to successfully manage navigating life as as someone who's trying to manage a lot at one time without calling it busy, how do you say you're thriving, right? I'm thriving in the fullness of life. So one, I think one of the ways I navigate being a busy mom is not allowing myself to say I'm a busy mom. I like to say that I have a full life. Now, I want to speak to my mom squad and my social element of being a busy mom, a mom who's also working. You know, I work part-time, but I have full-time expectations on myself and run a full-time business while being a full-time mom. And so it's definitely this sort of choreographed dance of timing and scheduling and prepping and so we're going to go into a little bit of those details because I know I've got a couple of you guys who have said you're just simply curious of what are the things that I've used that work well for me. But I think what I want to get at is it's important for me to look at my overall life happiness and balance that out. So there's no such thing as balance. I think balance is being present in where you are for what you're doing. And so being fully present and fully engaged at what you're doing. And so I look at everything in sort of this circle of priorities, and that's my spiritual side, my emotional side, my social side, my main relationship in my life, which is my husband. And are those things getting fed? Where am I on a scale of percentage wise of where I want I know my ideal happiness factor is in those things? And so those different areas of my life are going to ebb and flow depending upon the season. And so there are seasons where Brandon and I know that it's going to be hyper focus on the business. So that opens up, you know, 2 weeks from them, from that point, a time to be hyper focused on family. So one, it's really important for me to be hyper aware of my buckets, the buckets that need to be filled, and also making sure each one's being filled at certain times. You can't fill all your buckets all at one time. The second thing is I communicate the thing that I think has helped me the most in navigating and managing my lifestyle and my business and being present and loving life and not getting stressed out and, you know, still having time to live is communication. It's communication with myself, with my spouse, with my family, with my friends. But it's crazy. Communication, you guys, I truly believe is the key to life. It will transform what is possible for you in this world and what's possible for you to do with the 24 hours of a day that you've been given. So it's communicating with myself. I've actually learned to understand myself more, right? And I communicate with myself by asking myself questions, by doing the emotional work of journaling, by understanding that I'm a person who needs 8 hours of sleep tonight, a night to thrive. Now, the last couple of nights, because my son Baker has been sick, I've gotten less than that. And that's a short-term thing for me. I can't sustain that long-term and still be a 100% version of Trish. And so in order to catch up on sleep and to re-emphasize that sleep need of mine, I'm going to have to cut some certain things out. Great examples, two things I wanted to do socially tonight. I had a hip-hop dance class and then also a walk with a friend. I had to say, you know, these are my preferences to do those, but my priority, you guys, legitimately, my priority tonight is to get to bed at 7:30 because I know I need to reinvest in my sleep so that I'm a better version of myself. I know where I thrive and on the sleep scale, and I know when I'm lacking on it, everything else, well, it gets affected in a negative way. So one is a communication with yourself, asking yourself the kind of questions to understand your needs and your foundational need of self-care. And then it's communicating that to others. And so, you know, I'll communicate to my husband on the days where something's lacking of saying, I just need a little bit more time. Will you help me be okay getting to bed earlier? Typically, nighttime is our quality time together. So he understands that I might need two nights where we don't really get quality time together. Then we will recycle that back in by hiring a babysitter for a really great date night that maybe we weren't planning to make up for that time that we really do need together. So I guess that, so that's all to say is that I ask for help. I also know what I can do, what I can't. And then there's certain things, you guys, I know I need to be spending time in not just in my business, not just as a mom, not just as a wife, but I also need to some time to myself. And I need time for myself to be creative. I need time for myself to be productive. I need time for myself to clean and be a wife and a mom and a housekeeper, so to speak, and to cook clean meals and all that. But I also need time to be Trish and do nothing and just, right, not be productive, not have a checklist and get creative and let myself kind of just be and thrive as who I am, right? So that sounds all really idealistic until you go, wait, how the heck do you find time to do all that, right? Well, you know, when I start, as far as workload and priorities, I batch things. I also hyper plan out. I go absolutely everywhere with my passion planner on me. I color code my things. I know what's coming up. I handwrite everything in. And I set reminders for myself of what's important that day. That also, I've learned to not compete. I wasted a lot of energy spinning my wheels in the past, trying to compete and keep up with somebody who was more talented at doing something than me on something that wasn't as much of a priority. So great examples, I have an amazing mom squad, I like to call them, a group of amazing moms up near me, and they are just awesome, and they're total Pinterest moms. Like, and I don't even know if they like Pinterest. I'm just saying, if you show up to one of these little kids' tea parties, you might as well bring Pinterest with you, because these girls are that detail-oriented, that creative, that amazing, and just, I mean, like, it's very easy for me to feel like inadequate as a mom next to them, not just in my creativity, but in my execution of these fun ideas for kids. Now, rather than beat myself up over that, I decided to support and celebrate and be grateful towards my friends who are doing that and who keep inviting me to still take part, right? So one of the ways as a mom I'm able to thrive is because I'm in a larger community of great women who thrive. And now I have strengths that they get to benefit from as well, and I benefit from their strengths. It's working in collaboration and community with other women. Now you might be like, well, that's good for you, Trish. Like, I don't have that community. Well, you also have to step out and meet that community. We all became friends because we put effort in. We showed up to the library and we were friendly to strangers. We were friendly and invited people into the circle. We're constantly inviting people into this little social group so that the social group keeps expanding, so that we continue to create experiences together, so that we still have a book club and we do things with kids, and then we also do things just as moms. So we can know each other outside of just being so-and-so's mom. So I think that the key to that is making effort, right? So the other thing for me is, I have a couple focuses. My focus on a daily basis is to be present. It's to be loving, it's to be bold, and to be me. And I kind of look at that and go, if I can do those things, those are going to manifest themselves differently on any given day. But if I can manage that, if I can be present where I'm at without overthinking in the front towards the future or in the past towards something I was like, I could have, should have, would have done that better, right? I can really thrive. And then when you're present, I mean, it's crazy. When I'm totally engaged and totally present, I can get things done at like twice, if not triple, the efficiency of any other time when I'm half distracted. So I've kind of gotten rid of this concept of multitasking, other than, guys, the only time I really multitask is when I'm not feeling motivated for working out. I'll get on the treadmill or the stair climber and I'll scroll through my phone and do some social media or make my to-do list. That is the most of my multitasking, and it's only when it's necessary and I'm trying to trick myself into being motivated, you know? So being present really helps me be more productive because I can get done things in half the amount of time. I also, by being present and knowing that I have a time limit, I think having children is the greatest gift in the world because it puts boundaries on my time. What I get done in 25 hours of work time for my business is what I probably pre-kids would have gotten done in 50 to 55. Because I pre-children, I would have allowed perfectionism to come in. I would have overthought, overplanned, overperfected, all with really no really outcome difference or different results. And so if you look at your schedule, rather than resent the fact that you have limited time, what would happen if you celebrated it and that you maximized it and you realized your limited time actually intensifies your focus and, more than anything, helps you become a better action taker because you're not overthinking or talking yourself out of something or waiting till you have a better hair day to do that Facebook Live or start that blog or reach out to that person. You just go, hey, this is my window. I gotta get it done. Like, that for me is really the secret to my high productivity. If I wake up at 5 naturally, and my alarm's not set till 7, well, if I have 2 sleeping children and a sleeping husband in a quiet house, you better believe, even if I don't want to get up that time, I will, because I go, wow, I just got given the gift of 2 hours, right? 2 hours of hyper-focus equals 4 hours of a regular workday. And that way, especially on a day when I don't have preschool or daycare, which is only, I have preschool and daycare 2 days a week for my children. On those non-work days, so to speak, I actually sometimes can get a full workday in by just waking up early for 2 hours, and then, you know, the miracle of all miracles, if both kids sleep at the same time in the afternoon, I like in that hour and a half nap time, I can get 3 hours worth of work done. And you guys, what's amazing about that, again, it goes back to being present and focused, not distracted, not paying attention to the emails that come in or the text messages or my mom who calls always at the worst time. You know, just calling back when that window's done. I set boundaries around protecting that hyper-focused time. And the gift that gives me is that when my children are with me, we sit on the floor and we do puzzles. We play. We go out and run in the front yard. I can actually be present without being anxious about all the things that I wish I was doing or working on or the emails that need to be answered. Now, I'm not trying to paint a high and mighty picture of myself, because but I need you to know there are definitely times, at least 4 to 5 times a week, that there's going to be a half hour period where I give Ellie her iPad and Baker is playing and I'm going back and forth between monitoring them and answering some emails. Like, by all means, that definitely happens, but it's the exception, not the rule. And I made that mistake earlier in my when I first became a parent and I was running my business, trying to do too much in the margin without getting some help. So that leads me to being present, setting boundaries. And when I'm present, I can be more loving. So that goes back to my focuses. Be present, be loving, be bold, be me. When I'm present, I'm more loving. When I'm more loving, I feel more confident. When I'm more confident and I'm absolutely present and I have to be hyper-focused, it's a lot easier to take bold moves and bold steps and get the outcome that you want. Whether it's just, I mean, I can say being bold in your business, right? And putting a new idea out there or implementing something or having a networking conversation, or another bold thing is to be like, all right, I hate doing laundry and vacuuming. I'm going to do it right now. I'm not going to put it off. I'm going to be bold and just get it done, right? Sometimes being bold is just taking your list by it and just ripping up and going, I'm getting this done, because I'm an action taker. It's seeing yourself as an action taker versus a delayer that has made a significant difference in my approach to managing being quote unquote busy and running a full-time business. And you guys, I really want you to be able to be encouraged to know that sometimes you might look at someone else's schedule or life and think, well, they must have it super easy. Or maybe not. They have the same amount of hours as you. They might just be making different decisions. And could I accelerate my business even more than it is? Yeah, but I made a decision that I want to be a full-time business owner and a full-time mom. So I at this point don't want my kids in daycare more than 2 days a week and preschool more than the 2 days a week. And so I have to make sure that those 2 days are fully focused, high intensity. I get the best sleep the night before. I have the coffee pot ready. You know, anything I can prep beforehand is prepped. The food, the meals that I make for the family, my lunches, snacks, all of that is all baggied up before these 2 days of work happen, which are right now they're my Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So my Monday's a mom day. It's spent being a mom, but it's also spent making sure I do all the clean cooking for the next 3-4 days. All of our dinners are made. So Monday's a big cooking day for me, where I have all of Brandon's lunches ready, all of his snacks, all the kids' stuff, all my snacks, all the food, right? It's all baggied up. Everything is healthy. Everything is easy. And everything is a quick grab. And then by the end of the work days on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, when we get together as family time, I don't have to waste time going, oh, now what's the dinner plan? Or, no, now we need to go order something. No, it's all ready in a glass Tupperware that I will reheat for 3 minutes in the microwave, 4 minutes. And we sit down and we have a proper cooked, clean, healthy family meal that doesn't take any of my time or energy. And at that point, you guys, at the end of a day like that, a hyper intense, you know, 10-hour workday, and a lot of what I do is, you know, recording and stuff and high level coaching, and I'm pouring my heart, my energy into people. So I'm pretty tapped out. My mind is mushed at the end of the day. I want to save my reserve energy to love on my family and be present with them. And so it's crazy having a meal prepped on Monday and just making 2 or 3 meals options so that it's a quick heat up on those Tuesday and Wednesday nights for me makes a world of a difference. So it's a little time hack that keeps us eating clean and keeps me without excuses of being able to be present when work ends and my family time begins. So that speaks to boundaries. And then the other thing, you guys, for how do you maintain the lifestyle and manage what you're doing? I think it's knowing the difference, and I've done a podcast on this before, which you guys can go and look in my podcast archives by going to trishblackwell.com/podcasts. And if you just search on my website and look up priorities versus preferences, you'll find an episode where I did completely on that. And that's the truth is, you've got to know my preference would be that I can get everything done. But my priority is in a certain day, certain things. So what I do in my day to keep myself sane and from overcommitting or just sometimes overdoing it, so I can maintain a level of sanity, happiness, and self-care, is I have three different priorities. I have A priorities, B priorities, and C priorities. Each day I have at least three A priorities, and I try to keep it to just three. It's pretty much come hell or high water, these three things have to get done. I also, when I look at these in descending order of importance, I get the most important things done first if I can. If it's a meeting that's scheduled or an interview at 3 p.m., obviously I can't get that done first. But I list out my A priorities, my top three, then my B priorities are three, and then my C priorities are sort of the nice to haves. Now, an amazing day is when all nine priorities get done. And a good day is when most of them get done. But every day, at least the three main ones always get done. And that's on a work day and not on a work day. And those three main ones sometimes are work things, and sometimes they're growth things, sometimes they're family things, sometimes they're, you know, life things. But it helps me simplify my life to just focus on three. Right? There's power in the number three, because then I get a win. When I get one of those done, I'm 33% to my goal for the day. And then you can win and build on that momentum you get from the win. And you know, one of my nice to haves, like one of my C priority lists today is to vacuum my downstairs. And you know, I haven't decided if that's going to roll over to tomorrow morning or if it's going to get done tonight. Well, that's the beauty of a C priority. There's no pressure of like, oh, I've failed if I've not done this. But that's sort of for me how I'm able to maintain some of my household things between making sure they get on that priority list rotation. But then there's also certain things as far as maintenance in my house that I just know get done on certain days. Like Brandon and I do financial Fridays together. What are some other days? I do, well, laundry's every day. I have a system with my laundry. You know, I do a load during the day, and I fold it at night when I put Baker to bed, and then while Brandon is telling stories and reading stories to Ellie, I'm in the hallway outside of her room folding and putting away clothes, and that way I'm still present, but I'm also still productive, and I don't have to create and craft a whole new window of open time to do laundry. It just becomes in kind of really strategically woven into the lifestyle of what we already do. And then, you know, sometimes all three of us, Ellie, Brandon, and I will put the clothes away together. But it's just what we do every day. Otherwise, it piles up and it becomes this giant monster of a laundry pile that just makes you feel heavy and burdened, right? So, and then certain things I do, I have certain days that I do certain things that's helpful. You know, on for my business, Mondays are, or really Sundays, are content creation time. Certain days, like Tuesdays, are when I post podcasts. Like it helps me to lock in certain things that I do on certain days, you know, because I like to be balanced in my alcohol intake. Wednesdays are wine nights, right? Wednesday for wine. Like the other times of the week, I tell myself, oh, I think I'd have a glass of wine tonight. I'm like, you know what? You don't want to. It's Tuesday. Tuesday is an almond milk night or a cup of tea. So I structure and kind of anchor certain things and certain tasks and certain decisions to certain days so that those behaviors become automated, so I don't have to think about them. It's a lot easier to accomplish something if it becomes automated. It's a lot easier to stay and stick to something consistent if it becomes automated. So, you know, the other thing that's been really huge for me is asking for help and creating routine. Creating routine, first and foremost, in order to create a routine, you've got to know what needs to be in your routine. And so I, in my routine, always make time for some sort of self-care. And for me, self-care falls into social, emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual health. And so physical is, oh, I know I'm a better person, I'm a happier person when I move my body. So I always check what I'm doing and make sure I make time, even if it's just a half hour to exercise every single day. So Yeah, and I try to maximize that time. So if I'm working from home and I have a 45-minute window, I'm going to run for 42 minutes of it and shower for 3 minutes of it. So, and that doesn't stress me out because I'm a quick showerer. If you like to take long showers, maybe you run for 30 minutes and give yourself a 10-minute shower. But I know what my preference would be, to have a long run and a long shower, but on a certain busy day, it's not always a possibility. So my priority that day would be make sure you get a run in and make sure you shower your body. So sometimes those things become shortened. They can be shortened without having to be eliminated, right? I think sometimes we go, oh, I only have 20 minutes to work out, so I might as well not work out at all. Well, no, 20 minutes is still going to make me feel fantastic. And that matters. That energy I'm going to get from it matters. You never regret a workout, whether it's 5 minutes or 5 hours. It's still worthwhile. Although, let's be honest, nobody needs a five-hour workout. So, but for me, creating routine has been really huge. And I communicate my routine to my husband because he's my support, right? And then also, I think it's really important to say, I ask for help when I need it. I knew I needed more babysitting help and support. And so I got it. I added a couple hours to my daycare. I kept it on the same day because I want to respect the boundary of keeping my mom time, fully mom time. So I asked for help sometimes on a weekend if I'm overwhelmed or I'm working on a new project. You guys, I have a new project called The Donut Diet that's coming out. Should be out hopefully in October of 2018. I'm pretty excited. It's going to be a whole program on how to really find freedom from emotional eating. And yes, you can eat donuts on The Donut Diet. It's going to be awesome. But, you know, for me working on that, that sort of doesn't really fit into my time management for my normal work week. So it's going to take me an extra 5 hours a week. And that's where communication with my husband comes in and saying, hey, can I work in the margin hours? And usually we strike up a deal. Hey, if you go golf for 4 hours, do you mind if I go work for 4 hours on Saturday afternoon at a coffee shop? You know, and I thank him, I celebrate him for allowing me that extra time and supporting me as a spouse and seeing my vision for my business. And I let him know how much I appreciate his help and how that makes me really feel loved, that I know when I need it, I can ask for his help and support. And he's always willing and gracious to do it because he believes in the vision that I have of helping people as well. And he knows that that's important, and that that feeds and fills my soul. So, you know, ask for help. You know, it's crazy. I also ask for help by hiring virtual assistants. You might be like, how does Trish do all this? Well, one, I try to repurpose a lot of content. I try to reuse what I've already created. And then I try to be smart and strategic about doing what I do best and hiring out to do the rest. So I have virtual assistants who help me with some design work, who help me with, you know, taking one of my Facebook lives, converting it over to YouTube, or converting it over to Instagram TV, or, you know, there's still some, I still have to be present and have my hand in the pot, so to speak. But you know, I had to let go of the fact and this belief that I couldn't afford help. You can't afford not to have help. And now, whether that's help in your business through a virtual assistant, whether it's help by hiring a coach has been the best, and a therapist has been the best thing I've ever done in my life for myself, my happiness and my business. Or maybe you just need to hire help. Maybe it's worth paying somebody to come in and be a mother's helper so you can clean your house without being stressed out about your kids. Or maybe it's worth, you know, hiring a cleaning service. Ask yourself, what's your preference and what's your priority? What is going to bring you more joy? And I think for me, I had to learn how to detach myself from the cost that's associated with things and think with more abundance mindset. And when I started doing that, I had abundance towards finances mindset that shifted, and then also an abundance towards time that shifted. So now let's get into the routine. So one of my clients asked me this, Trish, like, legitimately, like, I just want to know what a day in life of Trish looks like. And so I was explaining to her this. Here's what it is. The night before, so we put the kids to bed. Typically, I'm doing laundry while, so Baker goes to bed early because he's, you know, a baby. And then we, as a family, have a little bit of quality time with Ellie. And like I said, I do laundry while we do stories. And after that, Brandon and I have about a half hour to 45 minutes of quality time, sometimes an hour, and then I go to bed. I go to bed pretty early, and I like to read in bed. I put my phone away from the bed, and I stop scrolling. I stop social media, and I just am present, and I read and I grow and I reflect and journal. And then when I wake up, I follow what I like to call my when life works best list, which is what are the little things that I do? It's 5 to 10 minutes of routine that I do to make my life work best in the morning. And that includes stretching. I like to do 3 to 5 sunset salutations. I like to do 1 to 2 minutes of abs of any type. I like to brush and floss my teeth, do my beauty counter morning routine with my face wash and my moisturizer. I like to put my makeup on just for myself. It makes me feel good. I like to know and lay out my workout clothes for the day. I get the kids' clothes out before they wake up so that it's just a no-brainer that I don't have to waste time when we're together being like, okay, go get your clothes, do this. It's all already laid out. Breakfast is on the table for Ellie. I pack up Brandon's lunch that I've made the night before. So everything is made and done the night before. The other thing I do the night before, I forgot to mention, is I look at that beautiful thing called the Passion Planner. And I look at what that week is to come. I look at I look at the week as a whole. And then I remind myself of what is on the docket for the day, the next day. And I look at that and I go, great, I'm going to work out at 10 a.m. Or great, I have to work out at 5 a.m. Or cool, I need to fit in a workout at 4:30, just from 4:30 to 5. And, you know, I won't shower until 7. Like I sort of plan out everything so that I don't even have to think about it when I go through the day. I also sort of relatively loosely think about what is going to be for breakfast the next day. And then when the next day comes, I just roll it out and it activates very, very fluidly, right? And so depending on if it's a mom day or a work day, I go into those roles of getting the kids to preschool or getting behind my desk. Or if it's a mom day, we do mom things. We play, we go to the gym. Now at my gym, we have a 2-hour window where they do have childcare, and it's an amazing kids club. My kids have a blast there and they're really well loved on by the caretakers there who I just adore. And so I typically don't do a 2-hour workout. I'll typically do a 75 to 80 minute workout, and I stretch and do foam rolling for self-care, so myofascial release, so I don't get injured in a lot of my running. So I'll stretch and self-care for 5 to 10 minutes while I'm reading a book or finishing up listening to a podcast. And then my gym bag's actually a backpack, y'all. It's a backpack with a special sleeve in it. I believe it's a Adidas backpack. No, it's Under Armour. Really cute. Under Armour gray backpack. That way I can walk into the gym carrying both kids, have hands free, but have everything I need, right? So I will have my laptop in my backpack, and the gym has awesome Wi-Fi plus a cafe. And so I'll use an hour and a half of my time for my workout for myself. And those are the days when I do a run and a lift, right? My mom days are when I get a longer workout and I get my strength training, get my cardio training. And then I also pull out my laptop, and then I do emails, or I respond to clients, or I work on my Facebook ads, or little stuff, maybe my financial spreadsheet for my business for the month, you know, my profit and loss sheet, stuff that I just know needs to get done, that can get done in the fringes, little pockets of at a time. And so I really don't go anywhere without my laptop, because I know I might have a 20-minute window that I want to maximize. Right? So then we get back from the gym on a mom day, we hang out. We do lunches once the kids go down to nap. I then take a real quick shower, and then I get back at it. And I know I can typically count on getting 30 to 45 minutes more of work done in that time period. And then when my kids wake up, we play. It's playtime. It's walk the dog time. It's be together and engage, right? And then maybe run some errands. And then we cook dinner together. We cook dinner and wait for Brandon to come home, and we have family dinner. So that is sort of what the day looks like as a mom day. And you can just anticipate that if it's a non-mom day, I just go all in, full on work mode. And the key for me with being successful at managing a full-time business on part-time hours has been batching my work. You know, batching my work, knowing, okay, I'm going to write 3 or 4 podcast outlines all at one time. So there might be a day that I never get behind the microphone or behind a video. It's just a day where I write. It's ideas, 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 content creation, content outline, and research, right? And then the next day, I'm like, make sure my hair's done, or at least it's brushed, right? Because let's be real, sometimes mom life, not always brushed hair mode. So I make sure I look a little bit more presentable. I have a shirt that I like, and that's when I'm going to record. That's when I can feel my energy's high, and I time my coffee appropriately before when I record. And you know, I know my energy levels. What's a better time of day than not than others? So doing batch work has been super, super, super helpful, because I'm responsible for a lot of content creation, a lot of coaching, and that can be really exhausting. if you're continually feeling that you have to come up with an idea and then execute on it. So I've found a lot of success by coming up with ideas, just having a few days of crazy inspiration and writing it down, reading, exploring, coming up with ideas and creating outlines that I want to talk about. And then days when I revisit that info and I'm like, I've had enough time between the two that I'm excited about that content again. And then I record and can implement it. And so furthermore, though, there's less downtime in between. I just know I need to get certain things done. And then also in business, there's certain days I do coaching clients and certain days I don't. And that helps me, again, stay in the mindset. When I'm in the mindset to be coaching, I have to be high energy, hyper-focused, and ready to serve and help transform somebody to help them take more actions to chase their dreams. I can't be distracted by my own personal to-do list of things I need to get done for certain different areas of my business. So by setting boundaries around types of expectations and types of things I need to do helps me a ton in executing with more efficiency. And then I think, you know, the final thing I want to share with you, I hope this is kind of, I mean, maybe this bored you to tears, or maybe it was helpful for you to go, okay, there is a dance to this. There certainly is a choreography. And there are weeks, y'all, I rock this out. And there are weeks where I'm like, I forgot to invoice my clients and I'm behind. And, you know, if people are like, please send me an invoice, I'd like to pay you what I owe you. So certainly this isn't a foolproof plan, but I do know this. When I make my bed, when I start with a gratitude journal, when I do my stretches, when I make sure I take care of, I feed myself mentally, spiritually, you know, I put on worship music. I have certain little things that I get fresh air that if I do those, everything works better. And then I leave little notes to myself to keep life simple. I have three notes in my shower right now that inspire me. Make life a terrific adventure, and then keep it simple and have more fun. Because I know if I do those things, the productivity will happen. I want to be abundant in my thinking. I want to live a beautiful life that leaves an impact. And you know what for me distracts me from that? Being too busy, being too focused on productivity that I lose my ability to be present, being so focused on being effective that I sometimes compare myself to other people, then get down on myself. And so I have to watch my emotional gauge to know when I'm inspired by other people on social media that I follow, or when I'm like, oh, too much time on social media, step back, Trish, turn off all electronics and read a book, right? Go out for a walk, get engaged. Again, keep it simple. Keep it simple, have more fun, and tell yourself that you've got more than enough time to do everything you want to do. You do. Because a lot of times we do everything we think we should do, not everything we want to do. That's the key. I still have to work very hard at knowing what I want to do and what I think I should be doing. I do what I want to do and what I know is going to move the needle towards my goals and towards what matters to me. What I've learned to say no to are obligations that I feel guilted into. You know, so I think that's the most challenging part of this, balancing this lifestyle. But I think also the final thing I want to add is I track my wins, and I track them just on the phone or sometimes on random sheets of paper of just, you know, that I'm doing better than I think I am. And I want you to know that too. You're doing better than you think you are. So I want to invite you into a little secret. I have this thing that empowers me, and it's just a mindset. I tell myself I'm really good at time management. I'm really good and I have more than enough time. And it's crazy. It works. I somehow have more than enough time. And I think if you stop saying that you don't have enough time, or that if you stop saying, oh, I'm so stressed out, I'm overwhelmed, the more you say that, the more it becomes true. So what would happen if you just let go? What would happen if you said, wait, I'm a massive action taker. I'm a dream chaser. And I'm going to have fun while I do it. And I'm going to live a beautiful life. And I'm going to have fun with my kids. And I'm going to make an impact. And I'm not going to live with regrets. I think it's pretty amazing what you might find will happen. You have nothing to lose. Give it a go. I know this. Stress doesn't serve you. It doesn't serve the world. It robs the world of you. And you being your very best self is the greatest thing that you could give to the world. So you have to ask yourself, how do you set yourself up with life and with a mindset that says, I'm going to be my best and live my best? And for me, that was proactively saying no to stress, proactively guarding my mind to keep things simple, to keep myself in my lane, and to tell myself, Trish, I don't have to figure it all out. I just have to know that did I show up today? If I showed up, then I win. If I showed up as my full self and with my full heart to love and serve others and to learn, then that day is a win. As long as I get that win, I'm rolling in riches. I'm talking about the riches of the soul. And that fills me with joy. And you know what? You can't rock. You can't rock somebody who's got joy. You can't discourage somebody who's grateful. And so that's, I think I get away from busyness and getting overwhelmed and suckered into comparison by just focusing on showing up, learning, loving, growing, taking massive action, you know, going back to my focuses, being present, being loving, being bold, and being me. And when I do those things, I know I can be free. And when I am that, then I get to live well. And isn't that what we all want? And it starts with some decisions. So start making those decisions today. And I want to hear after a week how the impact has had, what kind of impact it makes in your life. So make sure you shoot me an email, trish@trishblackwell.com, with your results of giving this a go for yourself. Okay, guys, so here's to living well, right? And you know, before we close, it's just on my heart to tell you, stop comparing yourself. We all have the natural propensity to do it, so don't beat yourself up over it. It's time to be done with all that self-criticism. But, you know, everyone has their own story to tell. Everyone has their own life to live, their own impact to make. And the minute you feel yourself, finding yourself comparing yourself to somebody else, give thanks. Give gratitude for first, the fact that you can realize it and acknowledge it. Second, for the fact that what an inspiration they are to you. If you are admiring something in them, celebrate them, be proud of them, be happy for them. Pray for that to be authentic, and then say, cool, how can I leverage myself up to a whole new level? How can I just focus on being the best version that I can be? And if you do that, y'all, you're unstoppable. That's your lane. That's where you want to be. I mean, it's really interesting for me as a mompreneur. I study other entrepreneurs and mompreneurs and, you know, women influencers who inspire me and motivate me. And I can sometimes look at some women, and I'm like, oh, like, I can't even be her. She's Latina and I'm like boring white. Like, it's so funny. Like, we can just go, oh, I can't be her. And so I'm less than, and she's so amazing and so inspiring. You know what? Like, Trish can't be Jasmine or Bianca or, you know, these women who I'm just wish I was like BFFs with. But you know what I can do? I can celebrate them. I can give thanks for everything they're teaching me. I can be encouraged by them. And I can go, you know what? What would they tell me? Trish, be Trish. And I want to say the same thing to you. On that note, let's close out. I want to highlight our listener of the episode. I do want to remind you guys, one quick announcement. This month in the College Confidence, we are all about body confidence. If you struggle at all with feeling amazing in your skin, and I don't mean like having good complexion, I mean like comfortable in your body, and you've never actually found the solution to find freedom, you gotta come join the College of Confidence. This month in the College of Confidence, we are finding freedom. We are completely committing to talking about all the things that you think nobody else thinks. We're talking about the self-sabotaging behaviors around food. We're talking about emotional eating, stress eating. We're talking about how to love your reflection in the mirror, how to stop wishing you were somebody else and start celebrating who and how you are and how you look today, reminding you that your weight is not your worth and that there is a beauty in you right now and that you can start seeing it, because the reality is that we cannot thrive, we cannot live simply, we cannot live the good life and make the impact we're supposed to be if we're distracted with self-sabotaging thoughts about being insecure, that we're not good enough, we're not skinny enough, we're not pretty enough, we are not enough, we're not memorable. Y'all, it's funny, like, I don't think you could shock me with what anything you meant negative you said about yourself. I would never want somebody to think the way they used that I've ever thought about myself, but I was mean. I was like a terrorist bully to myself, like just awful. And I'm telling you, how encouraging is that for you? If I can make a 180 by the grace of God, you can too. right? So please know there is hope, there are solutions, and I share it totally transparently in the College Confidence. I would be honored to coach you. It's $47 a month. It's my cheapest and most affordable way to support you, to coach you, and to build you up. It's like the cost of less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day. So I would love to come encourage you and help you become more confident in your body so that you can stop getting in your own way and start thriving as you were meant to be. You can join in 2 minutes at trishblackwell.com/college. And on that note, let's mention our listener of the episode. I've got her pulled up. She sent me a direct message on Instagram. Her name is Amanda Hammy, and she said that she would love a podcast topic on how to transition in work from being a follower to a leader. And she recently got a promotion. And girl, first off, congratulations. Secondly, awesome topic request. I wanted to highlight you, to congratulate you, to tell you I believe and value champagne moments. And I hope you've patted yourself on the back. And I want to thank you for asking for something that would help encourage you. So you guys, I want you to know, I love knowing what you want to be on the show. So look for some new episodes coming up about how to transition confidently in the workplace from a follower to a leader, how to be a leader even when you're a follower, and a lot of good stuff. So Amanda, thank you for that. I'm so happy that you're part of the Be More Tribe. And you guys, on that note, let's rock this week, win the day, celebrate your champagne moments, stop beating yourself up over the silly little things. Live today, love today, learn today. Go out there today. Go be you. Be you. Be free. Thanks for listening. You can get more confidence resources at trishblackwell.com. If you love the show, let me know. Write a review in iTunes or send me an email at trish@trishblackwell.com. Take your confidence to a new level by downloading my free daily guide to confidence, The Confidence Roadmap. You can grab your free roadmap at trishblackwell.com/roadmap. And you know what? I'm thankful for you. Yes, you. So thanks for being you. Now go share the best of you with the world.